I don't know what you're like with all the passwords that you're expected to remember. Every time you seem to go onto a computer, there's another password that either has to be invented or you have to remember one that you put in last week or last month or last year, and it is just baffling. Or maybe it's the PIN number. Am I the only one who's put the card into the machine and then thought, what's the PIN number? Or maybe it is just me. Maybe it's, you know, that safe place that you put that important letter? There are several safe places that I've yet to rediscover. Sometimes just remembering is an issue. Whether it's passwords, PIN numbers, safe places, and sometimes forgetting is just simply inconvenient. But other times it's more important. And it seems that God realizes how often we forget, and especially how often we forget Him. And all through the Bible, there are lots of examples of God calling His people to remember. Remember who I am. Remember what I've done for you. And not only does He call us to remember, but so often he creates events. He creates things that when we see them, trigger our remembrance. So last Sunday, as we gathered around the Lord's table, we see bread and wine, but we see beyond those things to the cross where Jesus dies for us. God knows that we forget so easily, and He provides for us in lots of different ways. Moses, at one stage, is about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And God says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out of the land of slavery. This is an amazing thing. This is a nation that's been brought out of slavery, brought out of Egypt. And you would think, there's no way we're ever going to forget that. There's no way we are ever going to forget what God has done for us, bringing us out of slavery, setting us free. And yet God says, be careful you don't forget who did it. Be careful you don't forget. So it's not really surprising that there are lots of examples throughout the Bible of memorials that play an important role because they help us to remember. Mount Sinai, when Moses receives the Ten Commandments from God, he goes back down the mountain, and the first thing he does is to build an altar as a memorial of God's covenant with His people to help them remember what God has done for them. The Hebrew word, now this sounds as though Stephen knows a lot of Hebrew. Be assured, Stephen doesn't know that much Hebrew. The Hebrew word that translates memorial simply means to remember. To remember. So whenever we see a memorial, it's simply to remember. Whatever that memorial may be. Tom read for us this chapter 4 from the book of Joshua. Israel is crossing the Jordan. Israel is eventually moving into that promised land. But they have to get across this river, this mighty flowing river. And God does yet another amazing thing. The priests are to carry the Ark of the Covenant, everything that symbolizes the very presence of God with His people, carry it out into the middle of the river. Really? You want us to carry this out into this flowing river and just stand there? But they do. They carry it into the middle of the river, and the Bible simply records that the river dried up. Dried up long enough for the whole nation to cross over into the promised land. Not only had God set them free from slavery in Egypt, God had now created the way that they were going to enter into this promised land. The river would dry up. But as they were moving through that river, one man from each of the 12 tribes of Israel had to take a stone, put it on his shoulder, carry it out to the riverbank to make a memorial. To make a memorial. To remember what God had done. So verse 7 simply says, these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel. These stones are to help the people of Israel to remember what God has done for them. So what are the stones for? Verse 7, a memorial to the people of Israel forever, to help the people remember always what God has done for them. Every time they would see these stones, they would think, God actually dried up this river so that we could just walk across into the promised land. God prepared the way for us. A memorial to the people of Israel. It might have been possible to be so excited about eventually reaching the promised land, eventually getting to their destination, that they thought they'd done it themselves. Aren't we great? We have actually got from Egypt all the way to the promised land. We've done it. It'll be so easy to forget what God had done. They had to do what they'd been told to do, but it was God who did the miraculous. It was God who opened that way for them to the promised land. And each time they saw these stones, they would be reminded not of their own ability or their own strength, or their own ingenuity, they would be reminded of God's faithfulness and God's intervention. So it was a memorial, a way to remember. It was also to be a question that children asked. As families saw these, children were encouraged to ask, what are these stones about? What are these stones doing here? What do these stones mean? Each time the children saw them, they were to ask. And they were to be told, they're to remind us of what God has done. They're to remind us of the faithfulness of God. It's good to encourage children by pointing to God's faithfulness, pointing to the God who never lets them down. It's also a memorial to the world around. Right at the end of that chapter 4, we simply read this, that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Why is there an altar? Why is there a monument? Why is there a memorial? To remind the people of Israel what God has done for them. To encourage children to ask those questions that will help them grow in their faith. And so the watching world will know, this is your God. The God who leads his people. The God who opens the way for them. So Joshua goes across this river, leads the people across. And verse 20 of this chapter simply says he sets up at Gilgal the 12 stones they'd taken out of the Jordan. Gilgal? Well, if you were to translate Gilgal, it simply means the reproach has been rolled away. All those years of wandering in the desert, all those years of looking forward to that promised land, all those years of that hope that was there, that reproach has been rolled away, and they now experience God's goodness and God's faithfulness in a new way, a new sense of hope. a new sense of purpose. We're surrounded by memorials on each side of the church, on our own clothing, surrounded by memorials. So maybe our children should ask us, what do these things mean? Why are they here? What are we doing? It is a time to remember the huge sacrifices made by so many and still being made this day, as they have served in two world wars, numerous conflicts ever since. It is time to remember the sacrifice that so many have made. It's not a glorifying in war in any way. The poppy needs to be seen as a signpost, a sign that needs to be read, for it points not to something wonderful and glorious, it points actually to the mud and destruction of Flanders fields, where the poppy appeared in the midst of that horror as a symbol of hope, as a symbol of life. It is right to remember and be thankful. And if we ever stop remembering, we run the risk of taking for granted what others have done for us. And that would be a sad day. That would be an awful day. But it's also right to remember the faithfulness of God and give thanks to Him. How often do you hear those stories from the world wars, especially, of things that came around because the weather changed overnight? People were able to move around. Things just happened, or did they just happen? Other people looked at it and said, well, that's a coincidence. But those of us who look at these things through the lens of faith see God at work. And so we need to look back with thankfulness to those who served, but also with thankfulness to God for His faithfulness. We should be ready to help our children remember and be thankful, not only for those who fought and died, but also for God's faithfulness. Remembrance is important. But sometimes it's easy to confuse remembrance and nostalgia. Nostalgia, we look back with fondness. And sometimes it's easy to look back to the wartime music, to the community spirit, to all those things which were positive during that time. And remembrance becomes nostalgia. It's not about nostalgia. Very real sacrifices were made. And because of that, and because of the faithfulness of God to us, we can look forward with hope and purpose. Remembrance needs to be remembered forward. Not just looking back over our shoulders, but also looking forward to the future that God has for us. We live at a time when nationalism in all of its various guises around Europe seems to be on the rise. We need to be careful. As God's people, we need to look forward with hope, with purpose, to the coming of the kingdom, which shall have no end. We look back and we see God's faithfulness, but we remember too that God's faithfulness has not changed. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Yes, people have made sacrifices. People have done heroic things in the pursuit of peace and justice, and we should never forget that. But ultimately, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. New every morning. Great is his faithfulness. We look back and we see that faithfulness. We look forward with confidence, with hope, with purpose, because his faithfulness is great. Never fails. Ultimately, we can only look forward with unshaken hope, with unswerving sense of purpose, because of the cross, because Jesus has died, so that the reproach of our sin can be rolled away and we can be set free to live in the house of the Lord forever. On this Remembrance Sunday, we do stop, give thanks, remember. But let's not leave God out of this. In this and in all things, let's remember the faithfulness of God, supremely shown in Jesus Christ. And in remembering, let us commit ourselves to seeking first his kingdom, his righteousness, the living for the praise of his glory. Let's pray together. Lord, in our own lives, there are lots of different memorials, maybe not made of stone. People, things, events, memories. Lord, help us to recognize our memorials and to be thankful. But in our thankfulness, seek to honor you in all that we are and all that we do. And this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace.